Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The Cabinet Subcommittee on Housing meets today to consider further measures to stimulate housing supply. The meeting is set to assess a number of housing options, including reviewing tax breaks for developers and builders. And on Friday, Tánaiste Simon Harris confirmed that the government will publish a revised Housing for All plan. Joining me now to discuss this, Rory Hearn, Social Democrats TD for Dublin North West, and Dan O'Brien, Chief Economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs and a columnist with The Currency. Good morning, both. Both of you. Dan, can I start with you? This general move towards private investment to boost housing supply has been criticised by the opposition, who've just said that it's a doubling down on previous disastrous policies. Is that a fair criticism? Have we been here before and it hasn't worked?
Well, I think one point made appropriately last week in the OECD's report that Ireland on public spending on housing has the highest in the entire OECD, which is European countries and other mostly rich countries from Japan to the United States. So Ireland already spends, the government spends, intervenes in the housing market massively more than the average. Now, that's some people may think that's appropriate. Some people may think in some ways that's self-defeating. Some of the government interventions are indeed self-defeating, helped by being a prime example. But nobody thinks, unless maybe the deputy believes, that all housing should be nationalised and the state should take control of housing and allocate homes to people and there should be no private market. But there are very few countries that do that in the world. So there's a role for both public and overwhelmingly private. This is the housing market is overwhelmingly a private market. There needs to be a mix. Mm-hmm.
The lion's share of that public spending, though, comes in the form of rent supports and HAP payments, not actually in money to build houses.
Well, it's quite divided. There's a huge capital budget there, which is allocated in different ways, including giving money to charities to buy homes for as much as 600,000, which are then rented out at far below market rates. Part of it is Help to Buy, as I say, a very bad scheme in my view in terms of both value for money, the effect it has on the market, and equity, giving people who are able to buy good homes tens of thousands of euro is not fair in my view. And then there's also the build component. So there's a lot. The Irish government does an awful lot in terms of housing, much more than any country in the OECD currently, as that very organisation pointed out this week.
Rory Hearn, more public money going on housing than anywhere else in the OECD.
Well, as you said yourself there, Philip, very rightly, a significant portion of that is going to private landlords in the form of rent supports. And Dan himself there very rightly criticised the Help to Buy scheme. That is money within our housing budget as well. There's significant subsidies for private developers within the overall public expenditure of the housing budget. And that is why we in the Social Democrats are bringing forward a motion to the Dáil this week, calling on the government to do a number of things. The first one is to retain the rent caps, the rent pressure zone. And the other issue we want to do is put forward, we have a number of solutions, ideas, because, and these are different ideas than the way the government appear to be going down and said, the Taoiseach came out and said he's going down, which is bringing back the Celtic Tiger tax incentives for developers. They even talk about giving it to investor funds, and we all saw the damage that that did. Things like the French Livret A model, which is a savings scheme.
Okay. You're throwing out a huge number of different ideas.
No, just one I want to talk about, which is there's 150 billion sitting in Irish bank accounts. Why are we not leveraging that to invest in housing like they do in France?
Right. Well, let's deal with that one then, because Dan O'Brien, I have to say, it is a sum of money that since the country went bust, and I started looking at this number almost 15 years ago, it really surprises me. It's actually, I think I'm going to correct you, I think it's closer to 170 billion is sitting on deposit at the moment, Rory Hearn.
I might be working off 2004 figures that I'll check and see.
All right. But the point is, Dan, that there is a huge amount of a national resource there that could be creatively leveraged, couldn't it? But nobody's doing anything with it.
No, Philip, that's, listen, banks take in money. It doesn't just sit in a bank vault in a cash, okay? Banks won't make any money by doing that. Now, they don't pay, they pay almost nothing in interest on it, but they don't make any money by taking in your cash and stacking it up in piles and putting it in bank vaults. They're lending it out, and they're lending it out at higher interest rates than they're giving the savers. And most of that now, Irish banks are largely building societies. They got out of the, because of the crash and how badly they were burned, they got out of the development business, which actually went too far one way, and now it's gone too far the other way. So the notion that there's 170 or whatever the latest figure is, and it did surge during the pandemic because people had nothing to spend their money on, there's huge amounts there, but that the idea that it's just sitting there, banks are lending most of that out in other ways.
And could the government not devise some kind of a bond which would be as attractive to investors, to depositors, as leaving it on deposit in the bank?
There are, of course, there are always ways. And I, you know, every time in all economic discussions, whether it's in a European context, whether it's getting more businesses and scaling them up, there's always this discussion of Europe has high levels of savings. How can we get those levels of savings into more productive areas? So this is a constant conversation in Europe generally. There are, of course, things you can do, but you're not going to transform. The fundamental model there is not going to be transformed. Okay. The main issue is making housing profitable. So people build more homes, both to rent and to sell. And that's the main thing. So it involves bringing costs down, if that's possible, and reluctantly, particularly in the rental sector, getting rid of rent freezes so prices can actually rise. I know people don't want to hear that, but if prices rise, more supply will come on. But rent pressure, the rent pressure zones, the effective cap on rents has done exactly what all of the evidence.
We'll come back to the RPZs.
It's dampened construction.
Hang on one second, Dan. We'll come back to RPZs in one second. But let me just allow you, Rory Hearn, to pick up on what you said that the French had done to leverage this money.
Yeah, and I think Dan is wrong there when he says that you know it's just sitting there and the banks are lending it out. We know the Irish banks are not lending money sufficiently to SME builders for development and to social and affordable housing bodies. We need a fund, essentially a state bank, that would provide people a return. They would invest their money in it. It's called passive investment, in that you get a solid 3% return. You're not an institutional investor looking for massive constantly increasing in rents, as Dan is there outlining and the Taoiseach outlined. And this would provide, as it's done in France, it provides one of the core sources of financing for social and affordable housing delivery, is this state bank, this state savings scheme. And I think Dan has been a bit dismissive there of this idea, because of course one idea on its own is not going to solve the housing crisis. We need 100 ideas and new ways of doing things, and each of them together can solve the crisis. And to come back to the issue of the rents, like this idea that Dan O'Brien is putting forward, that the institutional funds are putting forward, and the government, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, have completely taken on board that, oh, we just have to remove the rent caps to allow rents rise so that it is profitable for institutional investment. Where do we consider the impact of that, the human impact of that, on renters who have to pay these rents? What is the future for young people? The figures came out last week from Accord, who did research. This is Mork did research, which showed that 60% of couples planning to have children would have done so if it wasn't for the housing crisis. 69% of them say that not being able to get a home, 69% of 25 to 34 year olds said not being able to get a home is causing them to delay having children. Like, this is a social disaster, and the idea that you can talk about policies, just let the rents increase so that we can incentivize investors, is not a policy that will actually lead to solving our housing crisis. It would lead to huge, and is already leading to huge anxiety. We need different models and different approaches.
Let me bring Dan back in on that. Dan, your short-term pain for long-term gain recipe does involve pain.
Well, the OECD last week came up with quite a good suggestion, and that was that who are already in rent and have their rents capped would maintain those, but once they left the house, the landlord would be allowed to return to market rate. Now, don't forget, that cap has been around 2% since back in 2016. We've had a massive surge of inflation over that time. So there's been a big change there. So if you were to do that, you give people who are inside, and there's issues around this, because there's an insider outsider, people who are on the inside benefit, and those younger people trying to get into the rental market are the ones who pay. But that you would maintain some sort of stability for people in current rental arrangements. When they leave those arrangements, the landlord is then allowed to bring the price up to market level. And that seems to me a pretty fair compromise. But overall, look, there are, as the deputy said, there are 100 things that can be done. We're already doing maybe 1,000 things. The housing market is a massively complex thing. It's not as though the government controls all parts of housing. As I say, perhaps the deputy would prefer to nationalise all houses.
Can I come in on that? Dan has been saying, I've never proposed to nationalise the housing system, and neither have the Social Democrats. So I think that's been really just, it's petty and thrown silly comments, and shows Dan's questioning how serious Dan is actually taking this when he's saying things that are patently untrue. I and the Social Democrats are very supportive of a housing market and a housing system that has both public and private within it. But the difference is what we understand, and there is a difference in emphasis, is how much the market is left to deliver housing. In countries with successful housing systems, like Austria, like Denmark, like France, the market plays a role, but it plays a much more limited role than here in Ireland, where everything is about the market and the private sector and trying to incentivize it.
That's just wrong. As I've already outlined in the OECD outline last week, the Irish government spends more on housing than any other government.
And you have said that's a crude measurement. That's not measuring state activity.
You have said that. Can I just, in the few minutes that we have left us in this conversation, set the ideology aside and just talk about the rent pressure zone mechanism and whether or not it has effectively been ended now by what it is that the Taoiseach said. Rory Hearn, do you think that there is any landlord who, after such a clear market signal from the Taoiseach, is going to feel bound by the RPZ guidelines?
I think, Philip, that is actually a really, really important question and statement that actually hasn't been said as clearly as what you've said it there. I think that there's a massive danger, and it's probably already started, where you're seeing landlords emboldened by the Taoiseach statement and going to tenants and saying, actually, the rent is increasing and beyond what the rent pressure zone caps are. And we know that that's happening in breaches. So what I think is needed is Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, needs to come out immediately and say that actually we're not going to change the rent cap, rent pressure zones at the end of this year. There's going to be an extended period of time, whatever it is, 2 to 3 years before any change is taken. It cannot happen at the end of this year, because you are right. Landlords are going to be increasing in rents because tenants are terrified and won't go to the RTB in the way they would have, because they're living in fear that this is all going to change within a number of months. I think there is an intervention needed by the Taoiseach on that.
I miscalculated. I thought I was going to have time to give both of you a chance to get in on that. I'm afraid I don't. Rory Hearn and Dan O'Brien, thank you both very much for joining us this morning.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.